brazy, do the mumble like a crazy rhythm.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Italian Gamer Joe. Today is Friday, February 26th, 2021, and tonight we have a ton of video game news, including all the latest announcements from Game Freak as far as Pokemon goes, a new Yuffie campaign for Final Fantasy VII Remake, and finally, Chicago Band's Grand Theft Auto. Well, let's see how that all goes in the latest episode of the Italian Gamer Joe. Welcome to the Newsweek portion of the show. This is where we talk about all the latest and greatest in video game news. I am really, really excited to talk about Game Freak's new announcements for Pokemon, and it is just so cool. According to IGN.com, Game Freak announced Pokemon Legends, I think I'm pronouncing it right, wrong, I don't know, we'll see, but it's Arceus. Pokemon Legends Arceus is now available for pre-order. This is an open-world Pokemon game, guys. Everybody out there, open-world Pokemon. It's set to be, according to IGN.com, it's set to be released on the Nintendo Switch in early 2022. It's an open-world part that takes place in the Sinnoh region. According to Game Freak, the region is completely built out into what it is in the Diamond Pearl games, and you get to explore this big, vast open world. One of the cool features that they are showing in the trailer is that you'll be walking around with your trainer and you'll be able to sneak and throw Pokeballs at Pokemon that are just walking around in the field. And sometimes you'll catch them and then sometimes you won't. The game even has Pokeballs that are like made of wood and steam chutes. So it looks like this open world game takes place in the past, it seems like. It's going to be really interesting to see a game, a Pokemon game that is so heavily based on a timeline that's in the past, because we never really see Pokemon games in the past. Most Pokemon games are typically modern or in the future. So it's really cool to see that Game Freak is going this direction. Another really cool thing is that the new starter Pokemon for the game are Rowlet, Cyndaquil, and Oshawott. One of my favorites is Oshawott. I really love in the Pokemon anime how Oshawott is just like, Asha, Asha. Like, his voice is adorable. And it's really cool to see that these are the starters. And the whole story of the game has something to do with a Pokemon called Arceus. And the whole like quote from the trailer is that he shaped all there is in this world. It sounds like a really story-centric Pokemon game, and it's crazy that it's an open-world experience. It's just mind-blowing to me that this is a new Nintendo Switch game coming out in 2022. Like, I am so excited, and I guess we'll just have to see how it goes. I'm looking forward to this, and after Sword and Shield was a great game, so I'm excited to see what Game Freak has in store with Pokemon Legends Arceus. Another Pokemon news is that Pokemon Snap has new features that got revealed in the game. The game trailer that they released has something they basically tried to show like how the game judges characters when they take pictures, and the artificial intelligence, the AI, they score your shots according to IGN based on pose, size, direction, placement, other Pokemon in the background, and the background in general. So as you're going in throughout the game and you're taking these pictures, it'll rate you based on all of these things. Another really cool thing is that the game even has built-in Photoshop options where you can change like the coloring and the tones. You can also use tools that can illuminate Pokemon and change them by making them glow and elemental effects. So it'll help you and your pictures basically to make the shots even better. This game looks really cool. And the trailer, unfortunately, did not show too much of the story of the game, but it definitely seems like there's exploration involved and that there's going to be quite a bit of like characters you can talk to, and there's like a there seems to be like a hub world where you can kind of like explore and do stuff. Pokemon Snap will be released on April 30th, so that's a whole other. We're at February 26th, so that's a whole other month and a half from now. The game looks fantastic though, and I'm really, really, really excited to play the new Pokemon. Another story that I'd like to talk about is the Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl announcement. These are remakes for the Nintendo Switch. And Pokemon Diamond and Pearl originally came out in 2006. 2006, people, for the Nintendo DS. When the trailer was coming up for this game, they showed the Nintendo DS, and we're not talking like the DS Lite or the 3DS. We're talking about the fat DS that was gray, and it was like, you know, the old school 2006 Nintendo DS. Another interesting thing is that they seem to use the same graphic style, so the characters appear smushed and still like cartoony, but they just made it 3D now. So it looks like it's not a full 3D game, but more of just like a top-down 2D game with enhanced 3D graphics. The game looks really fun. I never played Diamond and Pearl before, so for me, jumping into Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl is going to be so much fun for me. At the time, I had a Nintendo DS. I had the DS Lite. I did not have the DSi. But for whatever reason, I was a fan of Pokemon growing up. Like, I was a huge fan of Pokemon growing up. And I had Pokemon Blue, I had Pokemon Stadium, I had Pokemon Snap for the N64, I liked playing as Pokemon in Smash Bros. And then one day I kind of just grew out of it, and I had like that phase where it's like, oh, Pokemon's for kids. I know, right? And I remember that it wasn't until like years later, we're talking years here, that I met my ex at the time, and he got me into Pokemon again and convinced me to buy a Nintendo 3DS XL. And I ended up getting, he bought me Pokemon, I think it was Pokemon Aqua, no, Pokemon Alpha Sapphire. And I played the crap out of that game. It was so much fun. And we were playing it together, and it was a blast, and that's what kind of reignited my love for Pokemon. And we played Alpha Sapphire together. I went back and played X and Y for the 3DS. I ended up getting like the tropical ones, which the names escape me. I really had a great time. Sun and Moon. I had a great time playing all of these again, and it's so great coming back to Pokemon as an adult and remembering my childhood and remembering how fun it was to go and play Pokemon. And Sword and Shield were a lot of fun. I played Sword, and I still have yet to actually play the expansions, but fantastic games. They are awesome games, and I am so happy that I was able to come back and revisit Pokemon. I mean, it's always nice to take a break from a game series that maybe you haven't played in a while, and then go back to it and then remember how amazing it was. I think that's another like lesson for life too. You know, like you should always give games or give things, people or whatever, second chances, because life's too short to hold on to like, you know, things. And it's always nice to go back and give people second chances or give games or whatever second chances, because you might look at a game first and you might play it and be like, oh, this is not for me. And then you go back to it years later and you're like, wow, this is awesome. What was I thinking? So yeah, I think that games and stuff like that are always like great, and I'm excited for Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. I don't know which one I'm gonna get yet. I have to figure out which legendary I want, but definitely going to get that. The next news article that I would like to talk about is Final Fantasy VII Remake. This has to do with Yuffie. According to The Verge, I believe, Final Fantasy VII Remake is introducing... Oh, my bad. It's actually IGN. According to IGN, Final Fantasy PS5 exclusive is doing a Yuffie episode. And for those of you that didn't play Final Fantasy VII's original game, Yuffie was an optional character. and you would have to find her randomly in a field, and you'd eventually like go into her story a little bit, but you could beat the whole game and never play as Yuffie or never get her in your party. And according to IGN, it's part of like an upgrade process for PS5, and the Yuffie episode can't be played as a standalone game without the rest of the package. The new episode featuring Yuffie can only be played by either purchasing Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrade on the PlayStation 5 Integrade, or by purchasing it separately after completing the free PlayStation 5 enhancement upgrade. They also announced there's some other great announcements for Final Fantasy. A Final Fantasy VII Battle Royale game called Final Fantasy VII The First Soldier. There's also a mobile remake of Final Fantasy VII. The mobile remake is for iPhone and Android, and it's basically Final Fantasy VII with enhanced graphics. The game looks gorgeous. I mean, imagine those blocky textures from the original Final Fantasy VII on PlayStation 1 and all the ports just being replaced with amazing versions of these characters. It's almost like unreal how amazing it looks. And the gameplay system, battle system looks like really cool. And I'm just so excited to play these Final Fantasy VII games. I still have yet to finish Final Fantasy VII. I played it by myself for a little while, and then I met my ex-boyfriend, who was also a huge Final Fantasy fan, and we played Final Fantasy VII and VIII together, and unfortunately, we parted ways, but I decided to continue and finish Final Fantasy VIII by myself, and I stream it on my Twitch stream. It's called, if you go to the Italian Gamer Joe, you'll see the Final Fantasy VIII stream, and it's a lot of fun. I have a blast with it. And I also plan to go back and finish Final Fantasy VII. So for me, it's going to be really fun, and it'll be nice to just get some closure and finish those games as well. And who knows? Maybe if we talk again one day, I'll get the chance to geek out with him, and we'll be able to talk about it, because that'll be something that really excites me. But until then, I'm just going to continue playing all these fantastic games and having a great time playing them, because that's what all we can do. And we'll see what happens. But anyway, Final Fantasy VII, fantastic game. I really can't wait to keep playing it. The story is great. I'm at a part in the game where we're in Rocket Town and we just met Cid. And Cid is struggling because he's trying to go to outer space and he's struggling. So it's a really, there's a lot going on in that game. And I'm just so excited to continue playing it and have a great time with it. As far as video game news goes, there's one more article I want to talk about, and this one's really interesting. It's from the Chicago Sun-Times, and they say a Chicago representative is trying to ban the sale of Grand Theft Auto and other violent video games. According to Chicago Sun-Times, carjackings are rising in Chicago, and a representative is trying to prohibit the sale of violent games that promote criminal activity. This is crazy that this is happening. Representative Marcus Evans Jr. wants to amend a 2012 law preventing some video games from being sold to minors. Friday, he filed HB 3531, which would amend that law to ban the sale of any video games depicting psychological harm, including motor vehicle theft with a driver or passenger present. This is a really, really interesting amendment that they want to do. And it says here, according to the Chicago Sun-Times, the bill would prohibit the sale of some of these games that promote the activities that we're suffering from in our communities. And he reached out to other state legislators to ban the video game because of all these carjackings that are happening. And I can actually personally relate to this. I live in Illinois, and there's carjackings happening in our suburbs, and like, this is like unheard of. Like, we've never, it's crazy how many carjackings we are getting in our community. And it's crazy that this is happening. CPD officers responded to 218 carjackings in January, police said. That's according to Chicago Sun-Times. Walker believes there is a bipartisan support in Springfield to ban the sales of the game in Illinois. I just find this repugnant that people are doing these carjackings, and I just can't believe this is a thing. I mean, and how it's gotten as crazy as it's been. It's horrible. As far as like the link though to carjackings and violent video games, I don't know. There's a lot of philosophy going on here, and there's a lot of interesting arguments that could be said here. Yes. Violent video games are definitely something that minors should not be playing. I always find it strange when I see parents allowing their kids to play games that involve, like, young children playing games that involve the use of, like, violence, like, with guns and stuff. And I think back to my childhood, and, you know, when I was that age, when I was growing up, you know, I had Pokemon. I had adventure games. I had, you know, like, way different games growing up. I didn't really have, my parents did not approve of violent video games for me growing up, so I never really played any violent video games, unless it was like Mario, or, I mean, I don't know if Legend of Zelda is considered violent. It's more of like, you know, a fantasy game. But anything as far as real world violence, like Grand Theft Auto, I was just not allowed. And I remember going to like my friends' houses, and their parents allowed them to play games like GTA, and I would watch my friends play it, and I would always get like made fun of that I wasn't allowed to play those games. And you know, at the time, like, I didn't really care. Like, I sometimes like took it personally, because I'm like, well, why can't I play those games? What's wrong with me? Why can't I play them? But then I got to a point where I'm just like, whatever. Like, I'm having a good time playing my games, like Mario, Zelda, adventure games at the time, like Escape from Monkey Island. You know, I got to thank my parents for not just going with the flow and getting like the most popular violent video game, and instead going with like the educational game, because I probably never would have known what Monkey Island was from Ron Gilbert if that never was the case. Like, I remember on Christmas morning, I was in third grade. This was almost 2 decades ago now. And I opened up Escape from Monkey Island, and I thought it was a fighting game. I thought it was like some kind of crazy, like, violent video game. And I opened it and I was playing it, and I realized that this is not a violent video game at all. In fact, it's an adventure game, and you have to read the text on the screen, and you have to use items, and you have to solve puzzles, and you have to confront people and talk to people in order to solve some of the puzzles. And you have to, you know, in order to solve puzzles, you know, if you ever come across a door that's locked, literally and metaphorically, sometimes you have to think outside the box to solve puzzles. And the game requires you to really understand your world and really think clearly through things, and to really think about all the parts of a puzzle or all the parts of a social situation. And this really changed my world. It changed my life in terms of like video games. I never really thought about video games being educational or video games being like smart, I guess. And it really changed the way I approach video games. Ever since Escape from Monkey Island on the PlayStation 2, I started to want to play more games like that. And that's what I did. I started looking for games on like my phone, or games like on my Nintendo DS, like Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney, the Kyle Hyde Hotel Dusk Room 215. There's so many games that I would like try to play that were more educational, like visual novels. And I'm so grateful that my parents did that for me, that they like showed me a game. They had no idea what Monkey Island was. They just saw it and they were like, oh, this looks good. It's a new release. It looks like it's educational. They didn't want to get me GTA, so they decided to go with that. And I don't think they themselves even realized that how much a game like that would affect me, or how it would have grown up with me, and the lessons learned from a game like that. So many lessons from games like that, like how you have to work hard to get what you want in life, how, you know, sometimes you have to really think outside the box when it comes to solving a puzzle or solving a life problem, just so many different so many things here. And I don't want to say that GTA is the sole reason why there's carjackings. I mean, there's obviously reasons why people carjack, and it's probably, I mean, I don't think GTA is the sole reason, but I will say that if you're seeing it in a video game and you're seeing how easy it is in a video game to do it, who knows? I mean, maybe people are, you know, playing these games and they're putting two and two together. I mean, it's I'm not going to say that's the full reason though. I mean, it's very different things. I mean, I really don't know. And I'm not a psychologist. I'm not, you know, I'm just a very passionate gamer. And I really do wish that games like adventure games were more popular. I really do wish that educational games were more popular. I wish video games in general just had more puzzles, had more opportunities for the player to take a step back and like really think about choices that they're making, or really or games that like, I wish that games had more social interactions where that taught the player about like confrontation or like about how to communicate better as human beings. We spend so much money in the video game industry to create these amazing experiences for players. And I really think it's sad that we don't have more games that can help teach human beings, players, younger players, older players, any audience members, that to be able to like solve puzzles or to, you know, like do more stuff like that. I think that, you know, I really think that, you know, like that we as gamers should try to push for more games like that, or push, you know, our money more towards adventure games. In the game section of my podcast, I'm going to talk about an adventure game I've been playing recently and how fun it's been to like figure that out. So as far as this like law goes, I mean, I think it's great that they want to I think it's great that they are acknowledging a harmful game, but at the same time, GTA has been around for years. It's been around since I was a kid. I mean, this can't be the sole reason why we're having carjackings. GTA has been around for a very long time. I mean, to say that this is the sole reason is a little bit ridiculous. And it's not just GTA. Like, there's tons of violent video games out there. I mean, just to base it completely on one game is a little bit, I mean, they're saying other games. I don't know. I mean, I think that if they're going to start policing the community for games like this, there needs to be another solution to this, because a parent could easily go into a store and buy a game for their kid like this. So, I mean, I don't understand like what this is going to do or what this is going to help with. And then from a game, you know, from a company perspective, how is Sony going to handle this? Like, are they going to check to see that you live in Illinois and then ban the game from the store page of their game? Like, it's definitely going to change the way game companies sell games. It's going to be very interesting. I'm very interested to see like where this law happens or when this goes. But yeah, so that's pretty much all of the what's happening in the world of gaming this week that interested me. If you are interested in joining the show and co-hosting with me, you're welcome to check out my if you're in the Discord community, feel free to join it and let me know if you're interested in talking about anything that interests you. What I'm going to do though is I'm going to hop into the playlist section of the week, so stay tuned. Welcome to the playlist part of the show. This is where I talk about the games that I've been playing this week. Lately, I've been streaming two games on Twitch called Final Fantasy IX and Grim Fandango. I think I'm going to talk about Grim Fandango first. Grim Fandango is an adventure game made in 1998, and it's become iconic. If you've never played an adventure game before, Grim Fandango is one of those games that lots of people recommend because it's a product of its time. It came out in 1998, and this was a game that I would like, imagine a Disney Pixar movie, but for an adventure game. Like, that's basically what it is. Tim Schafer is the creative genius behind it, and he's known for games like Broken Age, Monkey Island. It's just so many games, Tim Schafer. Tim Schafer is like a creative genius in the adventure game world. Like, he's created so many games that have resonated with so many people. I've played all of his games, or a lot of his games, I should say. And I'm a really big fan of his work. Another person I'm really a fan of is Ron Gilbert. Like, he created the Monkey Island universe. These are people that created amazing adventure games that have gone down in history as being some of the most iconic tales ever told in American adventure games. I mean, I I have to give them a lot of credit for writing stories that just capture minds and hearts of people. And I have to say that when it comes to adventure games, they remind me a lot of like watching a movie. You go into a world and you get to know these characters in a story. And one of the things I love about adventure games is that you get the opportunity to really understand the characters, really understand the world. You're not only are you trying to solve puzzles and talk to characters and figure things out, but you're also in the world of the game and really trying to understand how the world of the game works. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. And adventure games growing up for me have always been near and dear to my heart. I was in third grade when I got my first official adventure game. And I remember opening it up for Christmas, and it was Escape from Monkey Island on PlayStation 2. I thought at the time that it was a fighting game because Guybrush was holding a chicken, a rubber chicken with a pulley in the middle, and Elaine was holding a swashbuckling sword. Me in my, you know, third grade self thinking, oh, this looks like a fun, witty, comical adventure game that's action-based and I'm fighting. And then I opened the game, placed it in my PlayStation 2, closed the tray, and the game starts with Guybrush tied to the mast, and he has to figure out how to sink a ship without fighting anyone at all. The game is entirely based on solving puzzles, reading through dialogues, using items, manipulating items, and trying to think outside the box to solve puzzles. And one of the reasons why I love adventure games is because they teach you to they teach you a lot of things. They teach you a lot of lessons about life. For example, Guybrush was in love with Elaine, and Elaine always never wanted to be with him, and she'd literally punch him and slap him off the scene or something like that, come out comically, and he'd always save her from the clutches of LeChuck. And eventually they just fell in love, and they started their relationship in the games as a brother sister kind of scenario, where she just kind of they're not siblings, but she would treat him the annoying younger brother or something, and Guybrush was in love with her. And that ended up turning into their relationship dynamic. Guybrush was the more witty, sometimes creative and mature guy, and then Elaine was more of the mature character that did the more official things, and she was more her own thing. But they always had that dynamic between the two of them, that Guybrush was the more silly one and Elaine was more the serious one. And they were so, that's the idea that opposites attract, how they kind of just attracted each other from being so different with each other. Fantastic games. And Escape from Monkey Island also taught me a lot of lessons about life, that hard work and determination gets you places, that not giving up on the people you love, and vice versa. And communication is so important for friendships, relationships. Adventure games thrive on communication, because whenever you see a character in an adventure game, the first thing you should do is talk to that character and exhaust all the dialogue options. And that's why for me, as a kid, I learned that communication is so important, because not only are you learning more about that character, but you're learning more about the world of the game through these characters. And because they're the main focal points of these games. So that's what makes adventure games so unique and so fun, that because you're learning these lessons, you're learning that communication is so important. You learn how to solve puzzles, how to stay determined, how to not give up, how sometimes when you're faced with a really tough challenge in your life, that sometimes you might have to think outside the box you're currently looking at in order to solve a challenge. And adventure games teach a lot. Adventure games deal with conflict resolution, how you have to sometimes just sit and talk to a character, or do something nice for them. Or, you know, adventure games do a great job at talking about tough topics like death, how to get over a death, or a breakup, how to get over a breakup. Or adventure games talk about so many different variety of topics. Adventure games just, you know, they were my world growing up. You know, I was very introverted as a kid. I was bullied a lot. Being the Italian Gamer Joe, I consider myself a member of the LGBT community. I'm bisexual, and I consider myself a gay-leaning bisexual. And I, growing up, it was a struggle trying to figure out my own, like, identity, my orientation. So, like, for me, playing these adventure games was like my escape from the reality of the world for me. And there was Monkey Island, there was the Nancy Drew universe. As I go through my, like, Steam library, there was the Life is Strange games, The Journey Down, To the Moon, Thimbleweed Park, Monkey Island, Wolf Among Us, The Walking Dead, Undertale. So many great adventure games that I played growing up that became my world. Broken Age, amazing game. Just so many amazing adventure games that I explored in my life. Even visual novels like Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney. One of my favorite adventure games of all time is Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney. He plays as a defense attorney who struggles with self-confidence issues, and he is also a defense attorney. So he'll, like, find himself in scenarios where he's defending clients that were wrongfully accused of murder. And most of the time they're innocent. And I don't think there's ever a client that Phoenix gets that's guilty. They're all innocent. And but the evidence points to their guilt as being the culprit. And one of the things that Mia, Phoenix's boss, would say to him is, Phoenix, you need to believe in yourself. And if you believe in yourself, then you can believe in these clients as well. It's kind of like what RuPaul says: if you can't love yourself, how can you love anybody else? If you can't believe in yourself, how can you believe in anybody else? And it's about believing in yourself. And what ends up happening is that Phoenix goes into these courtroom trials, and he starts to look at the evidence, and he starts pointing out contradictions in witness testimony. And at some point, he comes across a witness that actually is the culprit, and he starts basically shooting down their contradictions. And with every new, like, evidence that comes up in the courtroom, he shoots it down and shoots it down and shoots it down until the witness that's the culprit eventually owns up to being the killer, and Phoenix gets that not guilty verdict. And it's such a beautiful thing. It's beautiful to see the power of believing in yourself, and the power of how that can make you when you embrace what you are and what you're not, and that you own the things that you are, and that you learn how to be a better person for the things you're not. And I've learned a lot of these things in my life. Phoenix Wright has always been a role model for me. He is determined. He's the kind of character that thinks outside the box for things. And he teaches me that communication is very, very important when you're in a relationship, or when you're at the friendship. The communication is essential. And that sometimes I have a problem with maybe just understanding like, language with people. Like, I sometimes, someone might say something to me and I might not understand, like, the words behind it, like, or what they I might understand, like, the true meaning of what they're trying to say to me. And that's something I'm trying to figure out today. And I think for me, like, it's, part of it is anxiety. I have a lot of anxiety. I have a ton of anxiety. And I think for me, anxiety is really tough, and it's how, and I battle it by trying to be around my family, trying to space out my stress a little more, and just trying to be a better me. I deal with a lot of anxiety in my life, and I get better every day, and I definitely I'm not perfect. I go through a lot sometimes, and I sometimes have my moments of extreme anxiety, but every day I get better and I become a better me. And mental health is extremely important. Like, if you can see a therapist, see a therapist. If you can see a therapist multiple times, see a therapist multiple times. Rely on family members, friends that can help you too. And it's always important to have friends. It's always important to rely on your friends and have them in your life. But anyway, Phoenix Wright, great adventure game. I loved it. I really like adventure games. There's so many great adventure games that I've played in the past that I can't wait to stream one day on Twitch. I really value what adventure games have done for me as a person. Another game series that I truly enjoyed is Final Fantasy, and right now I'm playing Final Fantasy IX. It's a great series of games, and I really enjoy them a lot. I played Final Fantasy IX a few years ago, and I played it on the Switch, and I'm playing it again on the Switch, streaming it. I really like acting out the characters. If there's one thing growing up that I was horrible with, it was being able to take myself out of my shell. You know, I was very, very introverted growing up. I was so introverted to the point that I was bullied. I was very, 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 very introverted. I was very, you know, I'm a very nice guy. You know, I don't engage when it comes to conflict. I'm very much a mediator. I prefer peace. It's kind of funny because, like, sometimes I get sort of really sad if someone's, like, on bad terms with me, because, like, Italians believe in not going to bed angry. Italians believe in peace. You know, like, we're the types of people where we talk things out before we go to bed, because we just can't go to bed angry. That's just not how Italians process things. And, like, for example, I might get into an argument with my parents or something, and they'll be like, "I'm not talking to you." And then 20 minutes later, it's like, "All right, what do you want for dinner?" And there's no logic behind it. It's all emotion. And at the cornerstone of it all is love. We all love each other. And I think that for some people out there, it might be difficult to be in an environment like that, because they may not be understanding or have the emotional side of them to be able to process emotions that quickly. And I know people that have that, as part of their personality, where they take longer to process emotions. Where with Italians, we process emotions very quickly, and then we're able to bounce back really quickly. Unless it's like something serious, like a death or a breakup, or something that's a little bit more complicated and more complex, then human emotions kick into play. And like, for example, I may bounce back between emotions quickly, but that's not all the time. Like, breakups, you know, that's a very, very serious thing. And I really, I've been struggling a lot with heartbreaks and throughout my life, you know, and it's tough. It's very tough, because it's like, it's tough when you love someone and things just don't work out. Especially when you know, like, you could have done this better, or this better. Same thing with, like, deaths, you know, like, I lost my grandparents at a really young age. And how do you tell a child, like, this grandparent, this your no, who have been around your whole life, who've been your role models, who've been picking you up from school, making you breakfast, making you dinner, loving you, supporting you, holding your hand when you walk to the park together, that they're just gone and that they're not coming back? And it's really, really hard to tell a kid. And that's something I had to deal with growing up. The idea of, like, not having closure with a parent, the grandparent. And I think that's why goodbyes for me are really hard. And I believe in the campfire effect, which is believing in leaving someone a better place than you found them. And it's the idea that I can, you know, if I can leave someone, if someone really does not want to be in my life anymore, my plan, what I try to do is try to leave them in a better place than I found them, which is encouraging them, telling them how awesome they are, telling them how beautiful they are, and, you know, making peace with them. I never close a door on someone. I try to leave it open. I don't believe in I don't believe in like blocking or anything like that. I just believe in peace. I believe in encouraging peace with people. And it's tough, but at the end of the day, you know, I believe in just, you know, being there from one human being to another, from one person to another. It's important. It's important to have these traits and to, you know, to have these things. Because at the end of the day, we could all die tomorrow. I could die tomorrow. And I believe in peace. I believe in being good. I believe in setting things straight, setting things right with someone on good terms. It's, you know, it's tough. It's really tough to have to own up to mistakes you're making, or it's tough to have to like to do stuff like that. Where was I going with this? I think there was a game I was going to talk about. Final Fantasy IX. So I've been very, very introverted my whole life. And being a Twitch streamer and going on Twitch and streaming games has been crazy for me in a good way. Because I'm able to step out of my shoes. I'm able to temporarily not be Joe and be Steiner, or be Zidane, or be Princess Garnet, or be Vivi. And when I play these characters and I drew their lines, I try to imagine myself as this character in the moment. And I try to think to myself, like, how is Zidane feeling in this moment? How is Garnet feeling in this moment? How is Vivi feeling in this moment? And as I read their dialogue, I try to like read it first in my head and try to think like, okay, maybe they're being sarcastic and I'll say it in a certain way. Or maybe they're being sad and I'll say it in a certain way. Or maybe they're being really happy and in love and excited and I'll say it in a certain way. And I really try to put myself aside, and I try to be that character. I try to embody that character on the stream, and it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy stepping out of my comfort zone. Streaming for me in front of people is like a form of public speaking, and it's really difficult for me to do stuff like that. I'm very, very introverted. If you see me at a party, I'm in the side of the room. You're never going to see me in the spotlight. And I, for me, streaming has been exciting because it's taught me a lot about how to be more confident in myself. And I've watched my streams back and I listen to myself talk and I listen to myself act out these characters. And I sometimes laugh at myself, or I sometimes smile at myself, and I think to myself, like, wow, this is actually like really cool. I never, like, when I look at myself, I'm like, that's really me. Like, that's really, I'm really doing this. And it's really cool to feel that way, to feel that I'm letting myself go a little bit and just embracing a character, embracing something that I never really thought I could do before. And it's very empowering. It's very empowering to have this new confidence in a way that I never thought I had before. And that's something I struggle with a lot, self-confidence. And while I stream, I can't help but feel like I feel like I'm in a different world. I feel like I feel like I can take a break from the anxiety. I can take a break from the stress of my life, the heartbreaks, the pain, everything. And streaming just definitely makes me feel like I'm in a place where I can just let loose and have fun. And it's so cool. And Final Fantasy IX does that for me a lot as well. I really enjoy the game a lot. I really enjoy acting out the characters. The game is an older game, but it's a lot of fun, and I love the opportunity to be able to do that. And it's great. I can't wait to keep streaming, and I can't wait to build the community. I'm very grateful for the community I've been building so far, and it's very inclusive. We are a very, very inclusive community. And if you would like to watch my Twitch streams, I'm Italian Gamer Joe, all one word. Italian Gamer Joe, all one word. And you can feel free to watch my streams on Twitch. If you missed any of my videos, you're more than welcome to check them out on my YouTube channel. I think that my streams save for 60 days because I'm a Prime user. So they save for 60 days and then they eventually expire. And then you can watch them on YouTube. The only other game I've been playing recently is Final Fantasy XIV, and I have a very interesting, scenario with like not scenario, I have a very interesting mentality towards MMORPGs, and I kind of am on and off and on and off and on and off with Final Fantasy 14. Like, I started the game for the first time back in March of the pandemic, March 2020. And I met someone at the time that was like, oh, you're like Final Fantasy? You should play 14. It's really fun. And this person like was someone I'd go on digital dates with in the game. And while we were playing together, he was helping me with the dungeons and everything. And then I don't really know what happened. We just kind of like fell off a little bit, and I stopped playing, and I played on my own for a little bit, and then I kind of just fell off. I canceled the subscription, and then work got busy, and I was lucky, and I'm lucky to, you know, to have that. And eventually I met my ex, who got me back into Final Fantasy 14, and it was a lot of fun playing with him as well and getting further in the game. And then I had to cancel it again, my subscription, because I got really, really busy with life and things. And I'm starting to play it again now with a really close friend. And it's fun to play the game again and to have fun playing it. And I finally got through A Realm Reborn. So that makes me really happy to get through A Realm Reborn and to play that. And now I'm on Heaven's Sword, which is the second expansion for Final, or is it the first expansion? The first expansion for Final Fantasy 14. And so far I'm enjoying the game. I'm enjoying the story. If there's any critique I have, it's that the story sometimes is a little bit slow and the game has a lot of fetch quests. And I get the impression sometimes that it's just like filler content. So I'm hoping that as future expansions, as I finish the future expansions, that the story starts to get a little bit more enticing and not as much like, oh, go find this wine and cheese for this character because they're hungry. And they'll give you like directions to where the boss is in the game. And it's like, do I really need to do this quest? Like, can you just give me the directions? Like this seems like filler content. And yeah, I mean, like I said, the game is really fun. The stories are really fun. The characters are great. And Final Fantasy 14 is definitely better playing with friends. So if you are just going to buy the game and not communicate with people, I don't think that's a good idea. I think you should, if you are going to play Final Fantasy 14, I recommend that you also join a Final Fantasy Discord community or a Facebook group, and you start like talking to people in the community, and you start making friends with people. Because as you go through dungeons and stuff, you might have to be in a queue, which could take some time to wait for people, and queues can take as long as 10 minutes, maybe even longer. So my suggestion to people is to take the time to really get to know people in the community, make friends, join a free company. There's a lot of LGBT inclusive free companies in the server I'm in. I was able to meet, at the time I played the game originally, I was able to meet some people in that community. And it's just, the game is so inclusive and so open-minded as well. So it's a really great series of games. And I can't wait to continue with those expansions. Yeah, I mean, an expansion, I think the game itself is only like, I'm pretty sure, don't quote me on this, but maybe $15 a month. Let me just double check real quick to see what the Final Fantasy 14 monthly price is, because I don't remember 100% what it is. Okay, I was wrong. The subscription fee is at least $13 a month, and that was back in 2017. But let me double check, though. They might have raised their prices. So the complete edition of the game is $60 for PS4 and then $60 for Windows and PC. And then the starter edition is only $20. And I'm not exactly sure what the difference is. Oh, okay. So it's just A Realm Reborn and Heaven's Sword. And the complete edition includes all the expansions. So Heaven's Sword, Stormblood, and Shadowbringers. And then after that, the game charges you $13 a month for 30 days for the entry. And then $15 a month for 30 days. So you can do the 30 days every month. For the subscription. And yeah, it's a fun game. It's a great experience. And if you have the $15 a month to play the game, it's definitely worth it. It definitely has a lot to do in the game, and there's a lot of fun things you can do. And it's a great way to make new friends, especially if you're new to the game and you're just trying to like understand a little more what's going on. It's fun. It's definitely a fun experience. And I definitely have to give credit to Square Enix for how much fun the game is and what you can actually do in the game and the characters and the story. If there's only one critique that I wish I have for the game, it's that I think they should go back to A Realm Reborn and start voicing some of the characters over and maybe start thinking about like cutting back on the quests a little bit, because it's a lot of quests that you have to do. That's a lot. And maybe like rethink some of the EXP and stuff, maybe add more EXP rewards. But overall, fun game. I really enjoy it. And yeah, that's pretty much all the games that I've been playing this week. And I'm probably going to continue streaming Final Fantasy IX, Grim Fandango, and then play Final Fantasy IX on my own. Or, I mean, 14 on my own. I'll definitely come back next week with some new games, or maybe finish up some analysis on the games I'm currently playing. But yeah, those are the games I'm playing this week. If you keep tuning in, you'll hear the question of the week. All right, that was a heavy section of the show. The next part of the show will hopefully be a little bit lighter. I, every week, post a question to my audience members. And the question that I pose usually is a very open-ended question. And the question this week was, if you could take a vacation to any video game world, where would you go? Like, if any video game world actually existed and you could go and buy a plane ticket or take a train or boat there, where would you go and why? And I'm going to go ahead and jump into the community Discord and start reading some of these answers. The first question, first one I got from someone, this is Josh in the Discord, says, Silent Hill, the beautiful lake, a great hotel, tall mountains, shops, friendly residents make it hard to resist from visiting there for vacation. You won't forget. And then someone else in the Discord said, I went last month and had the best room, and it's like a room with like a bloody bed. Thank you for that answer. That's a great answer. It's funny. And, you know, there's nothing, I mean, there are people out there that take vacations and trips to like haunted places in real life. One example I can give you is The Shining, the Overlook Hotel. The Shining is a movie that's based on a real life haunted hotel, and the hotel exists and it's in business, and you can actually stay there and you can request to stay on the haunted floor in the haunted room. So, and people have reported, ghost sightings and crazy things that happen in that hotel. And, you know, it's a real thing. People do go and stay at these scary places to have a blast, to have fun, to, get their adrenaline rush going. So so Josh from the community, thank you for answering that question. And yeah, I mean, I think it's great that you would like go somewhere that's more like, mentally or emotionally, exhilarating, kind of like a roller coaster, but in real life. And it's like a mental roller coaster, but like going to like a place that's haunted and learning more about the lore of the place. It's really fascinating. It's actually like a really cool idea. As for other places, let's see. I posted the question recently. Someone said Twilight, Scorpion from the chat said Twilight Town from Kingdom Hearts 2 because it's visually beautiful and the music is amazing. I played Kingdom Hearts 2 a while ago, and Twilight Town is gorgeous. It's such a beautiful architecture. I think I remember reading articles that the game is very much based on European towns. It's gorgeous, and the music is great. I mean, if I went to Twilight Town, the music played consistently, holy crap, I would love being there all the time. Another person from the chat said Chaos, or from Chaos Wings, probably Final Fantasy 14 outside of war. Yes, absolutely. Final Fantasy 14 has beautiful environments, and I responded to that and said, I'd love if Limsa Limosa was real. Limsa Limosa in the game is a harbor town, and it's very vertical. So you'll have like these beautiful like rock formations, and they are really tall, and it's a very much like a pirate themed town. So you'll see like ships docking and coming in and out. It's actually one of the most popular areas in the game. And it's just so beautiful seeing it. And I absolutely love being in those areas. Just absolutely beautiful. But yeah, that seems to be all of the answers from the Discord community. I'm going to go ahead and read some of these answers from my face from the Facebook group I posted in. So once again, I posted in a gaming Facebook group, and these are the answers I got. George says Azeroth. I'm not familiar with Azeroth, but hey, I mean, he put a heart emoji, so I'm going to take his word for it. Glenn says Tsushima in the Fall. Again, not too familiar with Tsushima, but that sounds really great. Gilmir says the Bionis for sure. Beautiful landscape. Again, I'll take your word for it. It sounds great. Joseph says Toussaint from The Witcher 3 Blood and Wine. It's basically fantasy Italy, southern France during the Renaissance. That sounds beautiful. Costa del Sol in Final Fantasy 14. Yes. Orlando says that. And yes, Costa del Sol is a beach town in Final Fantasy 14, and it's beautiful. Just absolutely beautiful. Someone named Mel Wellington says Hyrule. Yes, Hyrule is beautiful. Someone named Robert says Azeroth. That's the second Azeroth. Now I'm really curious. That's the second time that I've seen an answer for Azeroth. Where is Azeroth? What is Azeroth? Azeroth. Azeroth. It's a World of Warcraft place. Okay, so I'm guessing it's just the World of Warcraft. Okay, that's awesome. That is really cool. I'm really happy. Thank you for posting that one. That's awesome. And then finally, Kevin says, my island in Animal Crossing New Horizons. I can make it whatever I want and only have to worry about the random scorpion or tarantula. You know, honestly, that is a great answer. I am kind of like on with you on that one. The Animal Crossing island would be, I have Animal Crossing and I put at least 200 hours into the game, and I would love to go to my island and be best friends with all my characters. Like, I have Cody on my, for any of you Animal Crossing players out there, I have Cody, I have Stitches, I have, who else do I have? I have Cherry the Bear. I have so many adorable characters. If I could go on vacation to my own Animal Crossing island, I probably like never want to leave. I'd be friends with my villager. I'd be like friends with like Isabel and Tom Nook, and I'd just be going to town hall all the time. I'd be lifting weights with Cody and just messing around and taking jogs on the island with him. I would go hang out with Blathers and just ask him to take me around the museum and just hang out with him and listen to what he has to say, and his sister Celeste, and just sit with her and look at the stars all night. Like, oh my gosh. If Animal Crossing was a real place and I could go to my island and just stay there, I'd probably just live there permanently. I'd Wii remotely, and I'd just work on that island and have that be my new world. It looks like we just got another answer. Let's see. What was the new answer? Someone named Jonathan says Raccoon City. Wow, Raccoon City. Well, that goes back to the Silent Hill. So like someone that wants to take a vacation in a place that's spooky. Yes. People can go on vacations to relax. They can also go on vacations to have a good time and enjoy something spooky and exciting. So it's so nice to get all these answers from the community, and I really appreciate all these answers. Thank you to everybody who answered my question in the Facebook group, and thank you to everybody who answered my question in the Discord community. So I really appreciate everybody for answering these questions. It means a lot to me. Tune in next week for the next video game question of the week. I will make sure that I pose one, and I'm excited. In the next section of the show, I will talk about the positive quote of the week. So stay tuned for that. Welcome to the conclusion section of the show. I had a really deep show tonight, and I want to thank you all for being here. We had some very interesting topics. We talked about Final Fantasy, we talked about Chicago banning GTA, supposedly. We talked about Pokemon and all the exciting news going on with that. And then we also talked about vacations and video games. And finally, we talked about the positive quote of the week. I just want to say thank you to everybody in the community for an Italian Gamer Joe for being here, for being on my Twitch streams, for being on my Discord channel. For those of you that I've been friends with and IRL, thank you for giving me so much love and support, and for helping me. I am so grateful to you guys, to all of you, to everybody in the community. Thank you. I want to thank Lynn, my moderator, for, you know, for helping in the community. I also want to thank everybody that is here, that continually is here and supports the Discord, engages with the community. I want to thank you all so much for supporting this community. I created the Italian Gamer Joe community because after a recent heartbreak of mine, I realized that I was alone. And I realized that I needed to build a community of people that we can all help and support each other and be here together. And that's how the Italian Gamer Joe was born. It was this community built on a heartbreak. And I've seen so much love and support and just beautiful things from this community. So I want to thank you all so much for helping and for being here and contributing to the community and supporting the community. I'm so proud of having a beautiful community out there, of everybody out here that's just doing a great job, just geeking out and having fun and people getting to know each other. And we're such a respectful community too. We get the opportunity to really get to know each other. And as our community continues to grow, I'm really excited to continue having a great time with maybe having more game nights. I might even start to change up the community podcast a bit. We'll see how things go. But I just want to thank everybody for being here and for supporting the community, for supporting the Twitch streams, for supporting the social network feeds and everything. Thank you all so much for all the support. If you would like to support my podcast and the show, you're welcome to go to my Anchor page. If you go to anchor.fm and look up the Italian Gamer Joe, you're welcome to support me on there. It's not required, but you can definitely support my show that way. If you're in the Discord community, you can also boost the server. I think we need 13 more boosts in order to unlock the next server upgrade, which gives us like more streaming capabilities and more emoji stuff. So you're welcome to boost the Discord server. One of my plans for the Discord community is to work with an artist to start creating some Discord emoji for the Italian Gamer Joe. So I'm excited to do that. I'm also going to start working with Streamlabs OBS to start like making my Twitch stream a little bit more cool looking. So I might like have a chat on the screen again, where next to my like user picture, and then I might like make it look a little bit more Italian and fun. So that's another plan. As far as like game streaming, my plan is to probably like space out the streams. I might not do two streams every day. It definitely is taxing on my voice. So my plan is to stream maybe 1 hour a night for one game, and then take turns between Final Fantasy and Grim Fandango. And then as I finish a game, I start adding a new one to the list. And I'm really excited for this. I have never really taken the time to consider like going back and doing walkthroughs of all my favorite adventure games with my own commentary. So for me, it's fun taking the opportunity to go back. And there's such a great, huge communities out there for people that love adventure games. And I'm so grateful for people out there that have watched my streams and all the people I've met already on streaming on Twitch that are so fun and supportive. And I really gotta say thank you. Thank you for watching my streams, for supporting my content. I'm so grateful to the community for this, and it means the world to me. I also want to thank my artist for my game, my Vacation Pixel Paradise. She's doing an amazing job on the backgrounds and the objects and everything. I'm so excited to eventually be able to share more of that. And I also want to thank my composer for also making some great music on my game. I'm so proud of him as well for creating this content. And my vacation is going well. I think what I'm starting to do recently is dial back a little bit on the drawing board, and I'm starting to go back and like reevaluate how I'm going to do some things with the characters and with the game engine. So I'll definitely have some more updates soon. What I might even start doing is developer streams on Discord or on Twitch, where I just kind of like share a little bit and then I modify as needed, but we'll see. I might even start needing some like beta testers on the Discord just to see like how that goes. But so far, there's a lot and I'm excited. I'm really, really excited. But yeah, so that is the Italian Gamer Joe for the week. Once again, today is February 26th, 2021. Thank you all very much for supporting the Italian Gamer Joe, and I hope you all have a wonderful evening. Buonanotte, everybody. See you next week.